Well, Chris, I do not think this warrants the standard Stunt Granny audio 840 true opening here, because you kind of summed it up ahead of time. I just got done watching Stand and Deliver because I had watched the main event. My wife and I were out doing some drinking, so we did not watch the full thing live. Saturday seemed pretty good. Seemed pretty, there were some interesting decisions there. The Indy Hartwell one still looms, but Jeremy and I can get to that one later this week. Saturday comes. Most people think that it's one of the best WrestleMania cards. Period, end of sentence, don't need to expand upon that. People were like, how are they going to top this night two? Night two comes along, and there are some really good matches on that card, most notably and not really surprisingly, the Gunther Sheamus Drew McIntyre match got a lot of praise. That was kind of slated for that anyway. But then, sir, we come to the main event. And we could have read it as a sign that things were really going to change in the WWE and in the near future. The very near future, as in Monday.
Yes, we had a lot of reasons to be positive throughout the weekend until about 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, when one Cody Rhodes lost in the main event of WrestleMania to Roman Reigns. A lot of people are praising the match. Yeah, I like the match. I thought it went a little long. Got a little over. Oh, overdone with the near falls and the interference and things of that nature. It's not my favorite WrestleMania event, not even my favorite Roman Reigns WrestleMania main event. But once again, a good match that would have been punctuated perfectly by the Universal Heavyweight Championship changing hands as we all expected it would. But it did not. After Roman Reigns survived. By the way, Cody's finished at least once, correct?
Huh?
Cody hit the crossroads and Roman kicked out at one point, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that
And
was
then
one of the
Sami
near
Zayn and
falls.
Kevin Owens get involved. He takes a stunner. He takes a Huluva kick. Kicks out of that. But of course, one Solo Sikoa has to get involved with his weak-ass Samoan Spike. Because it looks like shit, let's be brutally honest. He ain't no Umaga. And then another spear. And Cody was defeated. And Cody really. Let's get. In his promo on Raw, he couldn't have had. He knew he couldn't have had that much to complain about, especially with how Owens and Zayn got involved. Like it was
Oh.
not that bad of a situation he was up against.
Right.
And, his opponent took both of their finishers as well, and he still and he was able to still kick out. So Cody did have to go do the hat in hand. I was beaten by the better man that night. Approach to it. But my God, how do you anyone read the room in this moment and think that this? That Roman Cody winning the title wasn't the right call. Like how? It's still mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it is definitely the stumper as far as decisions that of the weekend went. I mean, I think there's a lot of story to tell with Roman Reigns post title reign.
There is.
I don't, and it honestly, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of, as much as we were saying, enjoy Roman Reigns, it doesn't feel like anyone's come calling.
That is an interesting thought, and I was talking to someone else about that last night. It feels like talk of him following The Rock into Hollywood has cooled down. I mean, especially after it's been years since Hobbs and Shaw. He hasn't gotten a major offer since, it seems, or certainly hasn't, and obviously hasn't taken one. I thought part of the reason for him going on the schedule that he has was so he could fit the, Hollywood engagements into it, but nothing has materialized in that regard. But still, it was time. It was definitely time to end this reign, to see what Roman Reigns having with his back against the wall would look like. What him dealing with failure would look like. What him and his cousins, the relationship with him and his cousins would look like post losing everything. And we didn't get that. And I know there's the argument that we can, especially after what happened on Monday, Cody can go on a redemption journey and
No.
build back up to maybe to SummerSlam and win it there. And that show could be that gives that show a huge spark. But with other news and events that have loomed since, I can't bet on anything right now. I mean, because the news came out Monday morning, and it had already been out there by about Sunday afternoon as well that this was coming. WWE Endeavor Entertainment and the Endeavor Group who already owned UFC and own a lot of other things, multi-mega billion-dollar company, will be purchased will be is it are currently in the process of purchasing 51% of WWE. Vince McMahon is no longer the majority shareholder, will no longer be the majority shareholder of WWE, and they will be spun off into a new company that will then merge them with UFC, who Endeavor does own 100% of UFC. That was a 100% cash sale. The Fertittas have basically done nothing with their lives ever since. They're basically out of the public limelight with their billions at this point. I think maybe they still own some casinos, but largely no longer public figures in any way. The Fertittas. Dana White stayed in charge of UFC. And Vince McMahon will remain large. Well, either will remain or is back in charge of WWE. He will become the executive chairman of this whole thing, which in the hierarchy of this new of this new company will put him above Dana White. So it'll be interesting to see if Vince has the official right to meddle in UFC business, and there's nothing Dana White can do about it. That's a part of this people aren't really talking about. He is the chairman of the whole company, not just WWE. He can't. He will have some say over UFC business in this regard.
That's an interesting thing that I guess we'll see in the near future how this reformation of WWE and UFC goes also. And what, because I'm not sure if I saw that this was true or not, that the premium live event contract for Peacock runs through 2026.
Yes, and that is a good thing for all of us. Unless they rework it in the middle of it. Premium live events will remain $4.99 to $9.99 for the next nearly three for the next about the next 3 years.
Yeah, so there are some things that, though feared, at least are going to have somewhat of a time delay on them. Like, even if they
Yes.
get out of them early, I would think that there's still going to be a negotiation to buy those years out in some way, shape, or
Yes,
form.
there would absolutely have to be. I don't think. Well, okay. Well, we'll talk about where this is coming
But.
from. An interview with Nick Khan in about the middle of last week, he mentioned the possibility that they could at least look into the UFC's pay-per-view model with ESPN Plus. Something of that sort.
Oh.
And I don't think Peacock wants to be in the business of selling individual pay-per-view events. I don't know if they have their infrastructure is set up for that. They just want people to be subscribed to Peacock itself. So I think that as long as they're on Peacock, we are safe, and they're exclusive to Peacock. You know, the wording of the contract does give them exclusivity of the live events until 2026. We should be safe in that regard. I have no idea. I know I've never heard the phrase toothpaste back in the tube so much in my entire life as people talking about this.
Oh boy, yeah, that one does seem to get used. I've heard some variation thereof recently. So
yeah.
I guess people don't like to put genies back in bottles anymore.
Genies back in bottle, yes, the other one, yes. Yes, you just can't do it. But by the time we get to 2024 next year, it'll be 10 years of the network. You just can't make people go back to paying. You know, there's a strong argument. They either never should have included the pay-per-views at all, or they never should have included the biggest WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and maybe Survivor Series should have remained individual pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But that's not the direction they went. That's not the direction they've gone. It's been nearly a decade of this. People are not going to go back. And people are having issues with UFC and feeling that these cards on ESPN Plus are worth it. You know, I mean, especially with their price increases and really a lack of star power in their part. But still, the company obviously making a huge amount of money. I'll still grant them credit.
I mean, they still made the sale and got made the sale and made the deal with ESPN. I think maybe Jeremy and I talked about it, but that's definitely one that I've just watched way less of it recently. Like, it doesn't feel like there's been as much interest in general to me. And even the John Jones fight recently, I thought about getting it, decided not to, was glad I didn't get it. It seems like a very disappointing fight.
Once again, I was never more than a casual UFC viewer, even during the actual popularity boom period. Once again, very similar to WWE, you know, a corporate, a television rights and sponsorship and corporate sponsorship, boom period that they're in as far as how profitable they are, but their actual popularity with the paying audience nowhere near as high as at their peak. WWE very similar, but WWE, I think WWE has more stars, has more recognizable, bankable stars than UFC does at this point.
I do think that the extra exposure on Fox helps a lot in that regard. They just get a lot of mainstream spots where I don't feel like I get that from the UFC guys as much. And I guess I'm trying to think of when I've seen like appearances of UFC guys, even at like football games or anything like that. Like, you feel like you kind of see the athletes at the WWE shows. And sometimes they have, because what was that? Was Big E doing some, I feel like he's hosted a couple of races, NASCAR races, or, been Grand Marshal or something like that. So I guess maybe I just don't pay attention to the events that these guys are at, maybe. Or are they just training all the time and they don't do these appearances that the WWE does in general to just have better outreach, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they absolutely do. But WWE is also betting that the resources available to them through Endeavor are going to make them bigger, which is interesting. There was a mention of, obviously, WWE and UFC have to be run somewhat differently. Once again, we will see what happens with that when Vince starts having say over it. But as they mentioned, you know, some shared resources regarding production and marketing and things of that nature. A lot of people likely at WWE are going to be a lot of those people Triple H start talking about at the beginning of his opening promo on Raw might very well end up losing their jobs and all by the time this is all said and done. You know, the term corporate restructuring and removing redundancies.
Yeah, that's the problem when companies pool resources is that it generally means there are a lot of people that end up losing jobs.
Yes.
Whether it's the WWE or any other type of merger in life.
And then in all of this, because it's not a because it's a merger and not a 100 and not a full cash sale, all the people who ran up the WWE stock over the last, you know, 6 months to a year are not going to be in a position to cash out. I mean, you can still sell your stock like at any time you want.
Oh, right.
But there was supposed to be a premium, you know, hey, WWE's being bought out and no longer be its own public company, public corporation anymore. So you're going to get paid a lot of money to go to sell your stock and go away. That's not happening anymore. WWE stock is the valuation will increase, and right, people will have their stock. Once again, this is where I probably stop because I'm not an expert from this point at this point. But
you're not an economist. We need to we need Dan Keister on here to explain.
Yeah, where's Dan? But yeah, no. Once again, you know, no one's walking away. Well, I guess there's gonna be some bonus structure for executives, but for your rank and file stockholder, you're not getting anything out of this any more than you would otherwise.
Yeah,
the movie stock is actually down, I think, at least slightly since Monday morning. Wall Street not actually happy about this deal. Once again, expecting a full 100% sale. So Vince has pissed off his shareholders. And let's just talk about maybe the real reason this is all happening. Vince McMahon appears to be fully back in control of WWE. Even though he went on one of the biggest financial news shows in the world and promised that he was not going to be in the weeds as much as he used to be. Which people thought about, okay, maybe, you know, he'll have some say in who's champion and who not and whatnot, but he's not going to be, you know, traveling to Des Moines for Raw anymore. Or, you know, he's going to let Triple H do his thing. Well, he was in Los Angeles all weekend. You know, he apparently was enjoying himself at the Hall of Fame, but not getting too technically involved. WrestleMania, allegedly he got a little involved throughout some notes, but was largely leaving Triple H be. And then came Monday Night Raw, when apparently, at some point in the day, he might as well have pushed Triple H to the side and just started running the whole thing by himself again. Have you seen the video of Seth Rollins, the Seth Rollins video?
I have not.
The video where a production assistant had to run down while he was already in the ring and tell him about the changes to his segment while he was already in the ring. So I guess he was maybe supposed to actually have a real promo instead of just letting the audience sing to him. I guess that was a change.
Oh my God.
In the moment while he was already in the ring.
Good thing they took a commercial break before that happened.
Yes, they did do that. It was during the commercial break while the lights were down, but, you know, people could still see, and
yep.
It was pretty obvious that Seth was being told about the change in his segment. And there were multiple changes, matches that were supposed to happen that didn't, although none of those were actually advertised in advance. Yeah, it was a very chaotic scene. A lot of people seemingly unhappy. So Vince has pissed off his talent. I mean, it remains to be seen Raw and SmackDown and Raw this week, I believe, are in Portland and Seattle. We'll see if Vince makes those trips. We'll see if Vince shows up, or if he doesn't have to show up. He could just be on Zoom yelling at Triple H all night. We do live in that world now.
Although
Vince does seem to Vince is an old school guy. He does still seem to enjoy the face to face touch.
Yep, he likes to be in the office still.
Yes, so we will see how this goes, you know, long term. But a lot of talent seemingly not happy with what's going on. They like Triple H. They were comfortable with Triple H. And I'm not going to say Triple H was the most creative booker who's ever existed, but he seemed to run a tight ship, and his shows have been mostly enjoyable. I'll say that, as opposed to the just disaster that last spring and summer was. And I am feeling more and more like the amount of positivity heading into this last weekend, and until that very last moment of WrestleMania, it felt like they were the strongest they've been in about 10 years.
Yeah,
and they didn't need to bring back and they didn't need to bring back The Rock to have that. So that, you know, based on the popularity of Cody Rhodes and the strength of the Bloodline storyline and some other, you know, things that were clicking, they felt hotter than they have in 10 years heading into this weekend.
Yeah,
and now it's very unsure right now.
Yeah, it was one of those moments today where I'm like, ah, man, I'm glad I didn't buy tickets to SmackDown here. Because it's just a couple of... It's not this coming Friday. It's not this Friday, but it's the Friday after. I don't want to be there now. Like, the moment on Raw when I heard Corey Graves say someone was taken to the local medical facility, I'm like, oh, hell no. That, to me, was the dead giveaway. I'm just like, oh, this is not good at all, guys.
And I've got the SummerSlam ticket release to consider for next week. I haven't finalized anything regarding that. I think... I have at least one friend from Detroit who will want to go with me, and then my brother might go with me from here. He might not. We don't know yet. But we haven't made a final decision. But I do think the way things go over the next week will definitely formalize that and finalize that opinion once and for all. Yeah, as you mentioned, I didn't even really catch the local medical facility thing. It's just, it does feel like only two things of note really happened the entire 3 hours of the post WrestleMania Raw. Nothing else really happened. I don't really know where anyone else is going right now, where anything else is going. There was no indication other than. They've got this Bad Bunny deal set up for Backlash.
Oh, yep.
He's supposed to host. It's now looking more like he's going to end up in a match.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. And that choke, definitely use at least that, because we were left out at the end of Raw with no new opponent for Roman Reigns. And Cody Rhodes laid out by Brock Lesnar after they spent the entire night talking about the biggest match in the history of Raw, a WrestleMania quality match, and it never started. Now, sometimes you can get away with that. You can absolutely get away with bait and switches, but after everything else that's gone down, all the signs that of the bad old days coming back, I don't know if it's the best decision. Now, once again, I'm not against the idea of heel Brock going after Cody. Would have been better if Cody was the champion and Brock a challenge for the title again. That might actually be awesome.
Yeah, the composition of how it's happening is weird.
Yeah, I mean, once again, there's a world where Cody can beat Brock and head and get his second shot at Roman Reigns at SummerSlam and win, and it might be worth it. It might be worth all this. I don't know. There's also part of me in my head. At the end of the day, Vince will never forgive Cody Rhodes for his role in creating AEW.
Well, and there's just, even with Triple H still possibly in charge, it's one of those ones where sometimes the long-term booking just gets too long-term with them. I started thinking about Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. That is just like, oh my God, guys, this has gone on about 4 months too long.
Well, we can go back way further than that. We can go back to the NWO and WCW never getting their proper payoff. We can go to other times. Wrestling creative people fall into the belief that heat is everything. And you just keep piling it on, and you keep piling it on. But at some point, you forget about the babyface actually has to get their comeback at some point.
Sorry. Like you said, like I don't mind the someone gets knocked down, they get back up, but the WWE just, even recently, whether under Triple H or Vince, has not had a good track record in that department. Lord only knows what, how many years to get Roman Reigns himself to this point. After, what did he have, like 3 WrestleMania losses?
Yeah. Right. Yes. This belief that you can just, you know, pile on the heat and get, and eventually, you know, get people to where you want them to go without the audience giving up hope or you know, turn against that person and moving on to the next to the next person they're going to root for. It almost never happens like that. It doesn't. And maybe, and once again, one time it had, in recent memory that it has, was Bianca Belair last year. You know, a lot of people were furious about the 26-second loss to Becky Lynch and thought it was over for her, and then they actually stayed while Vince was still around, mind you.
Yeah.
They stayed the course. Bianca never lost a match after that, worked her way back, and won the title, and she's still champion. It can happen. But it also don't think that Bianca has more momentum behind her in her second run than she did in her first run as a champion.
Yes.
It didn't feel like they ruined like this epic run for Bianca. That when the Becky change happened. But with Cody, he was on fire. He was on a roll. And you can't pour water on that when they're in the middle of the on fire run.
Yeah, it was definitely the most questionable decision, and certainly, like you said, it. I feel like Triple H is ready to pull that trigger more in that department, and naming Cody Rhodes the new champion.
We don't know who made the final call, but we can right. imagine it was Vince, though. We can at this point imagine it was Vince, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Now, once again, Triple H, I said it when all this went down originally last summer. He could take the show from a 3 to a 6, and people would be singing his praises. And that's really what he did. The weekly TV has not been 8, 9, 10 level shows for the most part. Let's be really honest about that. Some episodes maybe have gotten there, but not any kind of consistency.
No, because, I mean, there's been the one major storyline for the most part. Some others... every storyline that edges in gets long in the tooth. You know, yeah, there's definitely been some is at least as many misses as there has been hits.
But it was better than it was between April and July of last year.
Oh. Yes.
And that's what I'm fearing is coming.
Yeah.
Because now WWE has had even through the Triple H run, they've had two albatrosses around their necks. The decision to unify the main world title, and to a lesser extent, the tag team championships, and Vince giving in and giving Roman Reigns his part-time schedule while champion, while double champion. And that
Oh.
is going to continue.
And would this be a half decent time to bring up the fact that maybe they're already teasing unifying the women's championships after this past Raw? That was one of the
That
few things that did happen. I would say that maybe that's the third thing that happened at Raw this week.
did happen, yes. Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair had a confrontation, teased facing each other down the road. Now, I don't know, no idea when that could be. I don't know if it'll be soon, but what wasn't teased for either of them was a next opponent, other than a little stare down with Raquel, which, great.
Oh.
But
Yeah. Even if I wasn't the biggest fan, woof, her main roster run has been just not good.
yeah,
Not good at all.
no, it has not been good, and it would not surprise me that Vince will finish his work to unify all the titles with that one. We're
Oh.
gonna have we're in an interesting we're in other interesting situations. After only being back for about a little over 3 months, Charlotte Flair is taking another break through the summer, apparently, at least.
Oh, I guess I did not see this news.
She wants to give. Apparently, she wants to give entering a bodybuilding competition a try.
Okay, well, this is not surprising news, given
We've had this conversation before about her looking like she's just not as passionate about this crap as she used to be. We've had it repeatedly.
Oh, well, yeah, we have had that, so I guess neither of us should really be surprised at this news, but much like Bianca Belair, you could definitely tell, and I guess because she posts a lot on Twitter, and I don't know if I follow her on Instagram or not. She's been posting a lot of her workouts, and she really seemed to be getting in some serious shape here recently. You know, I feel like her body composition was changing a little bit. 'Cause did she do the abs picture before or after WrestleMania?
I think it was after.
I was just like, hot damn, woman.
But is, as quickly as she came back, getting out of Dodge again.
Oh.
And we would be remiss if we wouldn't mention there has been, especially today, a lot of questions about Bayley's future. She
Oh.
apparently was at Raw last night, but told she was not needed to be in Io in Dakota's corner. And was her name was essentially never mentioned.
Yeah, that's a weird one. You
Well, I
know,
mean,
because I don't, for whatever reason, I don't know why I didn't notice that when it was going on last night. And yeah, like I really liked heel Bailey. This is like one of those ones that I'm like, man, that women's division in AEW still it's maybe getting better with the heel turns of the ex-WWE people.
no, it's not.
They're leaning into the crowd reaction better, at least. Saraya is still a problem. I'm okay with Ruby and Tony.
Yes, AEW could use any or all these women without a doubt, yes.
But that's one of those ones with Bayley. I'm like, I keep on thinking there's going to be this magic solve when they get to some point over there with enough ex-WWE women. Where I'm like, yeah, I think all these women have been able to go over in the WWE. Why isn't this translating with a handful of new opponents?
No, I mean, I don't think what's I don't. I'm not sure if any of the changes that could be happening are going to be good for women's wrestling. Vince has Bayley's run has been inconsistent and weird at times. There's been moments where she's gotten the ball and ran with it. She was all her and Sasha Banks were all over WWE TV when there were no fans in the arena. But when it came time to have the first show with fans, Bayley was put in a position to be to play the buffoon and to be humiliated. She was not given a match on that show.
No.
And then of course she hurt herself while they were still waiting to go back on the road and didn't get a chance to be in front of fans again until NXT Daddy Triple H was in charge of everything.
Yeah, and she got a shiny new group.
And she got a shiny new group of people that Vince was ready to had already casted off one and was probably getting ready to cast off the other one. I think Io's contract was going to expire and she was either going to have to go back to Japan or because a contract offer wasn't going to come from Vince McMahon, from a Vince McMahon run WWE. But Triple H changed everything for them. Now, they could have been booked stronger at points. They could have gotten there were times where they could have gotten the big win and they didn't.
Yeah, they definitely had a damage control had a bumpy ride to say the least, especially Bayley.
But they had a spot on every major show. They lost every time I think except one. But they had a spot on every major show.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did their jobs, you know, they're great role players. Bayley has always been a great role player, but it's always felt like when she got to a certain place, you know, Vince said, I prefer her. I'm just pointing at just about anybody, you know. It's been a rocky road, he pushes her at times. She's gotten some strong pushes over this. I'm not going to say she hasn't. And once again, I think some people are overplaying how sad they are for her. She's had years and years and years of being able to make good money and travel the world and live her dream and all that. She's been in her current job, if you include NXT, for 10 years. You know, at a certain point, maybe both sides are going to get to a point where it's time to move on. So it's not something to be that sad about, but it's a symptom of the problems that are forming, though. She wasn't even a lot. On the first show that Vince McMahon was 100% in control of in the time since Bayley's been back, he may very well have looked at her dead in the eye and tell her, you're not needed. Also complicating matters is Bayley may be the only person who, during the time Vince was gone, nothing major, but she may have criticized him when she said that she'd lobbied for a faction, and specifically with Io and Dakota, and had been denied repeatedly by the And
now I had completely forgotten about that story being out there until you mentioned it.
Yeah. Now, Bailey is, I think, a pretty emotional person. She seems like she wears her heart on her sleeve a lot. She loves this wrestling stuff.
No.
So, you know, once again, other people may have put more forethought into this, like, the old man's coming back. We know this. We cannot. He's not dead. He's not in prison.
But it is kind of funny though that whole local medical facility just it did remind me that almost all of the announcers made some type of commentary about not having someone yelling in their ear. Now, I know that you're never going to be able to do anything to Michael Cole because, holy shit, that is still wild that Michael Cole has called more WrestleManias than anyone else. Not completely surprised at this point. He has been around for a really long time. I remember him getting attacked by Ivory in, was it 99 or 2000 on the pre-show?
Yeah, 2000, yes.
2000.
Yes, that was funny. And a lot of people never thought Michael Cole would escape Jim Ross's shadow. But he has. He has really has over the years. He's had his ups and downs, and a lot of his better years or better times are dependent on who his partner is. Him and McAfee were great. I think him and Barrett have developed a good rapport. I think they have gotten to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Him and Graves, I've never been a huge fan of, but I think they were pretty good throughout WrestleMania weekend, or at least innocuous enough that they didn't annoy me at any point.
Yeah, I think it was one of the few times that Graves just doesn't get pushed back sometimes for whatever reason. I do think that Kevin Patrick gives him a little more pushback than, let's say, Byron Saxon ever did.
But he isn't any good either. And if one of Vince's, that'd be the right call if he pulls Kevin Patrick at this point. It's just not happening.
he's still not my favorite. Of course, you know, it does seem like one way or the other we're going to be keeping Corey Graves.
But if we lose Kathy Kelly, I'm not responsible for what I do. if we lose Kathy again.
Oh yeah, I'm mean,
not responsible. We're gonna have to put a super mega warning on, language warning on that
podcast. I'm gonna need to figure out something higher than explicit to post this under. I don't think they have a XXX version that I can file it under. I'll verify that.
This is all speculation. We're speculating at this point, but once again, the signs are there, and it sucks that we are now nearly an hour into this show. We are nearly an hour into this show, 45 minutes into this show, and we really haven't talked about any of the positive things from this past weekend.
Yeah, well, I in passing at the start of it made mention of night one being one of the best nights ever, and that lead has been buried.
I feel like for my taste, night two pulled ahead a little bit until the very end. There was a lot to enjoy. It was a lot of good matches. Maybe the best production they've ever done. Not the best commentary, but not commentary that pissed me off. As we said, could have probably used night one to be a little short. Night one to be a little shorter. there were probably things that we could have probably done without the four-way matches. And the stuff with the Miz and Snoop Dogg. To be honest, Shane McMahon would agree.
Oh my god.
Okay, the funniest moment in the history of WrestleMania. I'm not trying. It's terrible to say that.
Wow. Like, I was just like, that was another one where I'm like, oh God, it's another one of these segments. So I think I actually went to go do something. And all of a sudden I look back and I'm like, what the fuck happened to Shane McMahon? And I had to go to the interwebs to see what happened to Shane McMahon because I didn't rewind it. I was just like, oh my God.
Yes. Shane McMahon, after having not been seen him since last year's Royal Rumble debacle, entered the ring, was about to have a match with The Miz, and tore his quad on a leapfrog attempt 15 seconds in. Apparently Shane McMahon has not heard of stretching before physical activity.
Yeah, that whole leapfrog thing seems very, very fraught, honestly. There's a lot that can go wrong there. And a lot did go wrong there. And, yeah, definitely didn't, it didn't need to happen, although it is still funny that, Snoop Dogg and The Miz filling in somehow a highlight after that happened.
It absolutely was. Snoop Dogg showed tremendous poise under pressure in that situation. Snoop Dogg may be better than reacted better than 90% of the roster. 90% of the roster of WWE and AEW. Let's be clear. In that moment. To immediately hit Miz with a clothesline and then a great looking punch.
Oh.
Before finishing the Miz off with a people's elbow. Poor Miz. Just got. That man will do anything for this job.
Yes, he will. Oh man, yeah, he got his ass kicked on consecutive nights and honestly that was kind of the other thing that I chuckled about a little bit. I'm like, oh, The Miz is the host of WrestleMania, and then, oh yeah, by the way, Snoop Dogg's gonna be here in every segment that The Miz is in. kind of felt a little bit bad for The Miz in that department, but hey, Snoop Dogg, so what are you going to do? They love, the WWE loves people that do Corona commercials, evidently. Between Snoop Dogg and Bad Bunny, we got a lot of Corona representatives. Well,
and speaking of various sponsorship representatives, my God, we have a lot of sponsorships, sponsored matches throughout the weekend.
Yes, that was one of the funnier moments of the weekend, provided by one of the sponsors with Kevin Owens somewhat sneakily eating a Snickers bar while Sami Zayn answered questions.
Well, no, that wasn't even what I was talking about at all.
I know.
But yeah, that was funny. And Snickers, and you know, we get Snickers every year. Ha.
Yeah, they're
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, huh? We've got this blood, this family blood feud going on, and there's a giant fucking piece of cereal outside. And Rey Mysterio is having to, like, hug the thing while he's going into the most emotional, serious match of his life. Which, yeah. Thank God, the match went off well beyond that. That was a lot of fun. It was exactly what it should have been.
It didn't end up hurting the match. And then, like, I'm kind of looking, I'm like, oh, well, what match could they have had that going on for? I'm like, oh, there's not a good match on this list.
Unless I guess you could have just thrown some of these sponsorships on the four-way matches, but yeah, no one cared about those and probably would have used those to get their snacks and go to the bathroom anyway, so
I did. I liked the men's match.
A lot. It was okay. It was fun. They knew what they were doing with that. It needed to be a car crash bot fest, and it served its purpose.
That's what category it filled for me. You know, it was a lot of fun. But also in the sponsorship department, Logan Paul really gets to. It finally dawned on me when the wife was watching. She's like, "Oh, Prime, that's that drink that my nephew likes."
Yeah, cool. By one Logan Paul and KSI, who was underneath the dressed as a giant bottle of Prime.
Yes.
And, you know, WWE gets its big social media viral moment with when KSI going through the table. I have no idea how many people thought that was R-Truth at first.
I will admit to being one of those persons. If they had not said, "Hey, that's KSI," I was assuming it was R-Truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, a very, very good match.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
What we thought it would be. It was a lot of fun. Once again, this was such a good weekend. This was all, it felt so positive. And it just sucks where we're at right now. And maybe as of Friday, as of Monday, we will hear that Vince was not in at SmackDown and Raw physically there, and the show was run by Triple H for the most part, and there were no changes made on the fly or through, or during all the show was already on the air, and we'll get back a little bit more positivity, and we'll get to get back to at least that steady, consistent beat that Triple H was providing.
Yeah, funny what just being consistently solid does for you.
Yes, and don't get me wrong, that is once again, and as I said it before, I said it when I don't think I said it on a show with you. I think it was on the post SummerSlam show last year with Jeremy that I used the phrase, "If he brings the I had heard it from somewhere else. If he takes the show from a 3 to a 6, he'll be lauded as a hero." That's exactly what happened. Yeah. But now, are we going down to 3? Raw was a 3.
Yeah.
At best, at this point.
Yeah, the Mania. It's kind of funny that the hype for Raw after Mania has made that show worse.
It has, but it didn't. And whatever it had left, it did not survive the pandemic. It did not survive those years.
Yeah, it was definitely killed dead those 2 years.
Yeah, so yeah, we cannot expect anything in any wild happenings, too many wild happenings. Now, once again, they started the show with a good hook with Cody and Brock, with the idea of Brock Lesnar wrestling in a tag team match for the first time in God knows in probably 20 some years, and Roman Reigns having a rare match on television. And Brock having a very, very, very rare match on television. So, but I of course I had it in my head that Brock was going to turn against Cody. I don't know if you did.
I guess I did not. I was buying the regular logic. I mean, he is blocked from taking on Roman Reigns, so I guess that's why I didn't think. I saw a lot of people saying that was Cody's Sting moment. I'm like, nah, I guess to me, there's no reason to believe that Brock Lesnar would be kind of working with or against Cody per se.
Yeah.
Like, Reigns is more of a real legitimate thorn in his side.
Yeah, no, this was his chance to get a pound of flesh. He can't get another title match with Reigns.
Yeah.
Now, my God, if during the course of WrestleMania the other night, after Solo got involved, if Brock Lesnar got involved and helped Cody Rhodes win the title as his ultimate revenge against Roman Reigns, and then attacked Cody Rhodes the next night, I guess he could finally go after the title again. That would have been beautiful. That would have been a beautiful way to set up a Cody Brock feud.
Yes.
And now, once again, you can imagine that Cody's going to beat Brock, and he's going to get his, you know, he's going to get his rematch with Roman Reigns, you know, at SummerSlam. But with who's in charge now, there's no guarantee Cody's beating Brock.
Yeah, and I mean, I was going to say Brock's coming off some losses, but hey, he just got to beat Omos. Never mind.
Yeah.
So, I guess you want to talk at all. I mean, night one did end with the real bang with this whole thing. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn end up capturing the unified tag team championships. Crowd goes berserk. Funny what happens when the good guys win.
Really funny, yeah. Give the people what they want, and they cheer, and they want to come back, and they want to come back. Literally, want to come back the next day.
Yeah. Instead, they cut. Instead, they came back completely depressed.
Yeah, and just saying, okay, how are they going to get themselves out of this one? Doesn't look like they are. Roman Reigns has no opponent on the horizon. He's probably not working Backlash. I would say he's not working Backlash at this point.
I would assume so. Also.
He'll probably have to work Saudi Memorial Weekend, because he'll be expected to. Brock is usually expected to work always work Saudi. So we probably won't see him again. We probably won't at least see Brock versus Cody until then. Cody Rhodes probably should be selling an injury for the next 3 or 4 weeks or so, because I don't really think Cody should be wrestling on television, although he will have to wrestle on the house shows, because he's pretty much selling the house shows at this point. So that'll be that weird. It'll be that weird thing where Cody's off. Could be that weird thing where Cody's off TV, but he's still working the house shows with his ribs taped because he has to. Because
yeah, he's got to sell the bit.
He's got to sell those house show tickets. So there's a very good chance that Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Cody Rhodes will not be working Backlash, and the show will be completely sold on Bad Bunny. Which I like Bad Bunny. Does a good job as an attraction, as an added attraction. Cool. As a thing that's selling the entire pay per view to a nearly 40-some-year-old white guy like me, be honest, maybe not the biggest attraction. As part of the whole show, great. As the main event, not exactly the most exciting thing in the world.
Yeah, hard sell for the main event. Like you said, like it's the slotting of it that's kind of interesting. The crowd there, probably go bananas.
It will be an incredible. It will be a spectacle live. I'm gonna say that. Even if I don't, for some reason, don't watch it live, I would certainly watch it at some point.
Yeah.
But once again, we're back to these B shows. Not having a world championship match, and being without some other key attractions. Like, say, if Cody Rhodes doesn't wrestle on Backlash, Charlotte Flair is not going to be wrestling on Backlash. You start to lose some star power. These B shows start to get really, really flat.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how house shows are doing in that department.
Yes, it will be very. But yes. Once again, where business goes after this? Because once again, they were on an upward swing really since last summer, but I think the period between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania was a real high point. And just like last year, good show, great show, but what's the momentum carrying us through the spring and summer? You know, yep. we will see where these house show, we will see what these B show lineups look like. We will see what house show attendance looks like. We will see what the early sales for SummerSlam will look like. And I am all things you may have. Once again, before 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, we're looking pretty good. We're looking a pretty positive outlook. Now, not so much.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one to take. we'll start talking off air about which shows to line up to overtake WWE programming should things go that sideways.
Folks, this will now become a Succession review podcast.
Oh, do I need to get HBO Max? Is that what that means?
Oh, there's only like 5 weeks off of that anyway. Oh my god. Yeah. Oh, before we head out and you get to the beer, we have a guest. It looks like we're gonna have a guest next week.
Notable wrestling personality, probably way more followers than Stunt Granny itself. So that will be fun to get a minor wrestling Twitter celebrity on these here parts. So we do look forward to that. Belltime Beer, one of the ones that might have come from Jeremy Mays in Charlotte. This is Red Clay Cider Works Bramblin Blackberry, and it is delicious. It's a blackberry cider. I mean, it's exactly what it says it is. And it is quite delicious. The sweetness of the cider offsets the tartness of the blackberries, and you get a very, very good cider. So should you find yourself in Charlotte, I always suggest hitting Red Clay Cider. Very good beer. Even if you don't like beer, you know. I think that if you like good beer, you'll like the Cider Works anyway. Their stuff is that good. So there is that. So that is the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show. My name is on the Twitters at DeFrango11. His is at StuntCali. The brand is at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.